best I can. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start off there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll talk about a special delivery. Special delivery today. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start off in reading verse number 10. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. It says there, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Paul writes to the church here and talking about the Lord and what he's done and his testimony of what God's done in his life, and trying to encourage the Corinthian church there that God wants to still do that and do a whole lot more on top of that. Amen. We had prayer requests tonight, and that's the right thing to do. We had praise reports, and that's a good thing to do as well. But God's not done. I mean, when we go home tonight, God didn't take a vacation. He's still on a job, still doing stuff, still answering our prayer requests. When we come back next week, we'll have more prayers that have been answered, more prayer requests to give to the Lord. And because God is constantly moving in our lives, he's constantly at work in our lives. He wants to do things in our lives to benefit us spiritually, so he can use us to honor and glorify himself with those around us, whether it's with our children, whether it's with our unsaved family members out there in the world, or whether it's with one another here in the church. God wants to use us according to his will, according to his word, and he wants to do something in our lives. He never stops wanting to do stuff for us. I mean, God never is off the job, amen. And Paul's saying here, God has delivered us, who delivered us from so great a death, past tense, and doth deliver. He's delivering it now, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul's saying he's never going to be off the job. God is always going to be doing stuff for us. And as we pray today, as Pastor Hayes is flying over there to the Philippines, we're praying for that. And while he's over there next week, we're going to pray for him every day throughout the week and in the week after that. And as he comes back, we're going to be praying and asking God. He's going to be on the job the whole time, even though it's thousands of miles away. It's still our job to pray for him here in Kentucky while he's over there, because God is not limited. Amen. Paul's saying here the delivery, and he uses the word three times, so he wants to get the truth, the fact of the matter across to us today. In this one verse, he's saying it three times. God has delivered us, he is delivering us, and he will yet deliver us in the future as well. God is the one that's going to do it. It's not us. We're not going to figure a way out ourselves, whatever the mess we have in our life. We're not going to figure out, you know, the magic way out of it. God's going to deliver us. When we get out of a situation, when things occur, and with a prayer request we give to God and God answers those prayer requests, we need to know right off the bat that it's God that's doing it. It didn't just so happen to be that way. It wasn't just a coincidence. We need to realize it was God that was behind it. God is doing it, and he deserves the honor and the glory for doing it, and just paying attention to us, amen, the way he does. God is on the job all the time. And Paul's letting the church here know that they need to be thinking about it, that it's God who they need to depend upon, not themselves, not what their past was in their religious past, not in the demographic of the church, the city there in Corinth, that has so many different things going on in that city there. But they need to just focus on God and God alone, period. That's all that we need, really, when it comes down to it. That's all we need is God. Listen, when you're sick and you're sitting laying in the hospital bed, your bank account ain't going to do you no good. The kind of car you drive isn't going to do you any good. How much clothes you have in the closet, you know, what kind of shoes you have, that's not going to do you any good. But the Lord, now that'll do some good for you, amen. Amen. When we visit these folks at the nursing home, and over the years, I've done it years ago, they have hardly anything from our perspective of the world. But when you talk to them about the Lord, and you see their faces light up, or a tear go down their face, and they say, "Yes, I was a Sunday school teacher for 50 years at such and so church. And I remember, you know," and they recall little students coming forward and getting saved. Or maybe this guy was a, a preacher of the gospel for 40 years or whatever, and you just, God is real to them, and God is what they're depending upon. We need to get that message now. You children, you teens, you need to get that message now. Don't worry about the bank account. Don't worry about the car or the big fancy job or anything like that. Be concerned about your walk with God. When you get up in the morning, do you talk to God? When you get up in the morning, do you read your Bible? Can you go to God and get a prayer answered? That's what you need to be concerned about. Listen, there are people all across this country, and especially in this area here, that it's been saturated with the gospel. Doesn't mean they're saved, but they sure know the lingo really well. And they know the way things, Christians do things. And at work, I'm amazed. People come to me, please pray for whatever it is. And I don't even know who they are. I'll say, well, who are you? I mean, because, you know, I'm real tactful that kind of way. You know, I am. And I say, well, I'd love to pray for you, you know, but I really don't know who you are, you know. Well, they told me that you're the guy to pray for everything. So, and I write their name down, write their request down and stuff like that. Listen, can you pray and talk to God? Can you get a hold of God? That matters more than anything you have in a bank account. I guarantee you it matters more. And trust that God is going to deliver you, because he's the one that's going to deliver us. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Again, Paul's talking here, and he's talking about delivered again. Colossians 1, 13. Talking about God once again. Verse 13, he says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Amen, 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 amen. That's awesome. What a truth that is. But here we see the additional statement here about translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were literally removed from where we were at and placed somewhere else by God. We didn't do it ourselves. We didn't get enough points to impress the religious crowd, and now we're rated over here with this crowd by the world and everything else. God is the one that did it. He delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God is the one that did that. Amen. When you got saved, that's what happened with you. That's what happened with me. Praise the Lord. Listen, we're never going to have to worry about going back to the other crowd either. Amen. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. It's a good thing. And look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. That's an awesome verse right there. And that's the basis for it all, is because of what Jesus Christ did. But God is the one that, if you want to think about it, like he's the one that makes the judicial, legislative decisions in doing this for you and me. Jesus is why he does it. But God is the one that does this. He's the one that has delivered us from the power of darkness. God did that. He's the one that translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son. God is the one that did that. Now, Jesus is the reason he did that, but God is the one that's doing that. And you and I, we think a lot about the Lord, and rightfully so. We think about the Holy Spirit and prayers and everything, but we need to think about how active God is still in our lives today. God is still active today. He didn't just stop after you got saved, put you in the kingdom of his dear Son, and takes a week off. He's always looking at your life, what he can do for you. He's the one that's in charge. If things are going on across the world, he's protecting us. He's protecting Pastor Hayes as he goes over there. He's protecting this church here from the stuff that's going on in this country, that's very close around us here. God is in charge. He's the one that's doing this for us. It doesn't just happen. I mean, when we go through our life and praise the Lord, you brought it up about your husband. Just that's one small thing, traveling all these miles on these highways when it's so easy for somebody to go left of center and bam, head collision. It's so easy. I mean, it's infinitely easy. But God is in charge, and he's directing, as he goes down the road, he's directing that vehicle. He's directing his mind to be acute, to see the signs and be awake and be aware and make the decisions to take the turns and all the different things. God is doing all that. God is busy working in our lives, and we need to realize we need to be thankful daily, not just for the fact that you're saved and you're sitting in a pew. But you need to be thanking God every day for the day you have today. Amen. Because God is not on, he's not on vacation. You're saved, now he's going to leave you alone? No. You're saved, now you're his child. Do you take your child and just throw them to the world? Say, hey, give me a buzz when you got a problem. No, you don't do that. The world wants you to do that, but no, you don't do that, amen? You're active in their decisions. You worry about, you're concerned about what they eat, their clothing that they have, the shelter that they have, the relationship they have, their emotional, you know, situation. Are they healthy? Are they interacting? You're concerned about all these things. So is God. He cares about if you're having a bad day. And God wants to deliver you and get you past all that stuff so you can realize and just rejoice in the things that God has for you and be edified and strengthened spiritually so you can realize that God is delivering you every single day. And there is like, Christopher said it down there in Mississippi. He said there is always, 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 always something to be thankful for. Always. I don't care what's going on. There's always something to be thankful. Why? Because God's alive. He's not dead. He's not buried. He's not in a mausoleum. He's not a sack of bones somewhere we can worship. He is alive. And he is able to look at your life and do what needs to be done in your heart. He can move upon your heart. He can move upon your mind and your life and console you and comfort you and direct you. God is able, and he wants to do that. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians 1, 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Here we see Jesus is the one that has done this for us. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. And we're talking about in Sunday school about hell and about the horribleness of hell, the eternality of hell, the agony, the whole gamut, as much as I can put into vocabulary and in terms we can understand. We're trying to just understand the reality of how bad hell is and how eternally just not good that it is, that we need to be doing all we can to keep people out of hell and need to remember that it is still there. Jesus delivered us from that, amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, that's something to be thankful for, amen. Amen. Every time you get a blister, you burn yourself on the iron or something like that, listen, thank God you're not in hell. You should, amen. Listen, because those flames never stop. And I don't want to get into a Sunday school lesson, but listen, he's delivered us from that completely. He didn't just give us a buffer for 10 million years and said, hey, you know, you're still going to have to go after 10 million years. Sorry, it's all I could do. It's done. We don't ever have to go. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. He delivered us. Done deal. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. Excuse me. It says there, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. He's talking here to the church there in Thessalonica, and Paul says there, finally, brethren, pray for us. In verse number 1, you go to verse number 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is in you. He gives them a compliment there. And then he says in verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. This is kind of what Pastor Hayes was praying for in the prayer list. Amen. I think it was, I can't remember what it was, about 7 or 8, right around in there was that number. That's kind of what he was praying for, that the devils would be thwarted and the demons and the influences would be thwarted. That's what he's praying for here, that they would be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And That's a pretty obvious, glaring truth. People in our families that are not saved, people that we live next to that are not saved, people that we know at work that are not saved. I mean, it's fairly obvious they have not the truth. But here Paul's saying that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, that even though they're out there and there's a boatload of them, they still can't affect what God can do. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're the only Christian in a place where there's 100 or 1,000 people. That 999 people that are against God can't stop what God can do in your life. Amen. We forget that. We don't think about that. Amen. We get to work. We're not at church anymore. We're kind of by ourselves. And maybe you're not allowed to have your Bible with you at work. And you don't have your Bible with you. And you got to, and you're a subservient. You're an employee. You got to put up with this. And you got to put up with that. And you kind of get down in the mouth. You kind of get discouraged. You get dejected. And you get distracted. And you don't remember what we're talking about here. That's why we go to church on Wednesday night. Have prayer time and be encouraged and remember what this book says. Amen. Paul's saying, hey, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. We need to pray for one another in our situations. There are neighborhoods here, we need to pray for people that live in certain neighborhoods. There are jobs we work at where we need to pray for those people in those jobs. We need to pray for one another everywhere we go. Don't think that there's ever a day where you don't have to pray. It's impossible. If you're still here, there's something for you to pray for and something to do. Amen. All of us need prayer. Every single day we need prayer. Amen. Don't wait for us to get in the hospital and pray for us. Amen. Pray for us each other now. Amen. Amen. God is able. He wants to use us now. He wants to deliver us now. He wants to get the honor and glory now. Go to 2 Timothy. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're almost done. No amens. Okay, that's good. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Look at this here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11 says, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. This is a personal testimony Paul's giving to Timothy here, saying, hey, listen, he gives a whole boatload here. If you look at the previous verse there, verse number 10, you have a comma and keeps on going for verse number 11. He lists the big old long stuff here that God has delivered him out of. And he's saying, the Lord has delivered me personally. I have a personal testimony, Timothy, that I know God has done stuff for me. He's done stuff for me here. He's done this. He's done this. He's done this. And listen, we need to be able to do that with our life. We should be able to say, hey, listen, I remember when God took care of this, and I remember when God took care of this, and I remember when God took care of this, and I remember we were looking at this here, and it just totally blindsided us. We never saw it coming, but then a couple days later, God was right there with that as well. We need to be able to understand that God is able and wants to be called upon, wants to be, he wants us to depend upon him, and he wants us to ask him and lean on him to deliver us when things come into our lives. Don't get overwhelmed by what's around you. Let God just give you the peace and get you through it. Because we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have situations. We're all going to have aches and pains. We're going to have, you name it, it's going to happen. It's just part of the life that we're living. However, we can get through it and honor and glorify God as we do it. And then God get the honor and glory. And other people around us can see that and see the light of the gospel and see the salt and the light that we're giving out and be affected for righteousness. God can get their attention and get them saved. That's the reason we go through certain things. You say, but I don't deserve to be going through this, Lord. You're picking on me. And whatever it is that you think you're going through, God may be using you through that situation so you can do it the right way and somebody else is watching you and then get saved. It wouldn't be the first time. Amen. We need to just get our eyes off of us and stop listening to what this world tells you to do. Let the Lord, Word of God get into your heart and life. Let the Holy Spirit teach you and bring you along in the way you need to go spiritually in your life. Depend on God and realize it's a whole lot more than just you, that God's using you for his honor and his glory, and it may be somebody else's life, but he's still using you. You're his child. Amen. Paul says, beyond the shadow of doubt, out of them all, look at that at the end of that verse, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Out of them all. Amen. Last one we're going to look at. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Here Paul is saying, hey, When it came down to it, the Lord was right there and literally delivered me from Satan himself. I mean, Satan came after him. And listen, you say, that sounds kind of weird, kind of spooky. Well, if you're doing something for the Lord, the devil's going to be after you. He will. If you're reading your Bible every day, the devil's going to try to get you to stop. If you spend time praying every day, the devil's going to try to get you to stop. If you go to church every time the doors are open, the devil's going to try to get you to stop. If you do what you're supposed to do as a child of God, according to the Word of God, and the way the Holy Spirit encourages and strengthens you and teaches you what you should do, you do those things by the grace of God, you're faithful in doing those things, the devil's going to try to get you to stop. Period. That's just, you need to expect that, amen? Paul's saying here that the Lord, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Literally, the devil had him literally like a lion, and it had him in his mouth like a lion had his grip of a prey, like a gazelle or something in his mouth. The devil had him that way, spiritually speaking, and the Lord still took care of it. Amen. Have you ever? And there's a bunch of those nature shows out there now. But when you've seen an animal hunting like a lion, they're really not built for speed. They have power and strength. They got little bursts of speed they have to use and regulate because they don't have a whole lot of it. What they depend on is the strength and the tenacity to hold on until the other thing gives up. And when they bite something, they don't let go. And look what Paul says here. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. When Satan gets a hold of you and you're working for the Lord and you're doing what you can and you can sense the spiritual attack, you can sense the spiritual oppression. And I remember about two or three, well, probably longer than that now. He's been gone about over a year now. But I remember when Chris was here, and there was a time when he said, man, I just feel like a huge fog is over me. I read the Bible and it's just like there's nothing there. He said, please pray for me. And that happens. And that is not, it's not a headache. It's not time for a Tylenol. It's not time for another shot of coffee. It's time for the Spirit of God getting on your face before God and asking God to do something, because that's a spiritual situation that's going on. And that does happen a lot. How many can say amen to that? Amen? Amen. Listen, recognize it for what it is. Go to God, use the Word of God, pray and beg and beseech Him and ask for the power of the Spirit of God to help you to get through that and depend on Him. Recognize it for what it is. It is a spiritual attack. And as long as we endeavor to live for God, we can expect that to happen. Paul says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. When you look at those gazelles or those whatever they are over there, and the lion grabs them and they pull them down, you see that thing kicking and trying to stand and trying to do all this other stuff, and that lion just latched on and just holding it, keeping it from getting up. You don't really expect his mouth to go and run away. You don't expect that to happen. You know what's eventually going to happen. It's just a matter of time. That thing is going to become dinner for that lion. You just expect it to happen. I mean, if his mouth was just go and he'd take off running, he's like, wow, that was totally unexpected. That's what God can do. That's what He did for Paul. It's what He can do for you and me. As we face spiritual oppression and opposition in our lives, and we do a lot more than you think, go to God, and He's the only one that can get you out. You're not going to get yourself out, but God has control over that lion, and He can say, open it up. Amen. He's the only one that can. Amen. We need to go to God. We need to thank God. We need to rejoice. Listen, this prayer time, it went long. Yes, I'll agree with that. Amen, it did. However, I believe it was ordained of God because the testimonies that were given just line up so well with the message tonight. Amen. God knows. But listen, we need to rejoice in God, and we need to remember. I mean, every time I see those two kids now, I'll never look at them the same. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. I realize what a trophy of grace that those two little girls are. Amen. One's not so little anymore, but still, she's a little girl there. But listen, I look at them differently now as a trophy of God's grace and a miracle that they are. And God wants to do so much more with them. Listen, God's not going to do that and then just leave them on a shelf. He brought them to this church here to grow in this book. He brought them to this church here to grow in Sunday school. He brought them to this church here for you older ladies to teach those younger ladies what they should be doing. Amen. Yes, amen. Listen, this church is here because God wants it to be here. We're here because God wants us to be here. We've got a young, awesome pastor. Praise the Lord for him because God wants him to be here. We need to do what God wants to do. We want to get in on it, amen? We want to be able to rejoice like Paul and says, hey, God delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. God is able. Most Christians today ain't worth the powder to blow them away, amen? They think God's dead. They think Christians, I mean, church, the Bible's just a storybook. I mean, they don't ever read it. They don't know what prayer is. I mean, that's most Christians in America today. Amen. Now, they're saved, but that's all. And most of them, they don't even think they're saved anymore because they're not reading their Bible. They're not being strengthened spiritually. They're being just bombarded by the world. And listen, that's going to wear you down. It will wear you down. And that's what it's designed to do. Amen. But praise the Lord, God is able. He can deliver us. He has delivered us, and he wants to do it a whole lot more. And you know what? He's the only one that can. So we need to let him. We need to rejoice when he does, look forward to when he can, and just praise him every time he does it for us because he deserves the honor and glory. Amen. God is good tonight, and we need to just rejoice in that and thank God for what he does for us. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight, Lord, just to hear from the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well and able and wanting and to do so much with us and use us for your honor and glory and your will in our lives. Help us, Lord, to depend upon you. Help us to look to you in the Word of God. Help us to listen to the Spirit of God as he teaches and encourages us, Lord. Help us to pray for one another every single day, Lord. Help us to realize that you're alive, that you're real, and that you're able. Help us to be a victorious Christian in this world in which we live. Help us to be the salt. Help us to be the light. People around us are dying, literally dying all around us. Help them to know that there is hope in you. Help us to be that advertisement for you the way we need to be. If you want to come forward and pray, pray now. Just God spoke to you through the message. Talk to him in prayer. If you want to do in your pew there, whatever you want to do, just pray and talk to God. Don't let this be a one-sided conversation tonight. Amen. God spoke to you. He spoke to me. You need to talk back to him. Amen. Have a conversation with the God. He enjoys that. Amen. Have some fellowship with the Lord. Pray tonight about the message and how he worked on your hearts. Give a few minutes for that. Then we have a closing hymn. Excuse me. And then we'll be dismissed. Just go ahead and have a word of prayer. Just pray now.